listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. For you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. If I made you close your eyes and read you passages from all four of the Gospels, you know, the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if I had you close your eyes and I read you passages from those different books in different order, you would almost always be able to pick out which one was the Gospel of Luke, because it would mention so frequently the Spirit. This week's Gospel text itself starts out with Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returns to Galilee. Just remind you, the beginning of chapter 4 here, these first 14 verses, he's been in the wilderness, and the Spirit led him to the wilderness and led him out of the wilderness as well, where he was tempted. The Holy Spirit figures into Luke's gospel more than any other gospel. Actually, twice as much. We've got tools for this now on the computer, so I can figure this out. Twice as many times as in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of John, Spirit is mentioned in Luke's gospel. So if you hear Spirit, you're good chance it's the Gospel of Luke. By the way, we're going to read the Gospel of Luke on Saturday at 9 o'clock in this space. So, quick commercial for that. That's a new thing. We're going to gather together at 9 a.m. and read through the entire Gospel of Luke. It takes about 3 hours. And there's 24 chapters, and I've got a sign-up sheet out there, so if you want to write your name on the sign-up sheet and just come and read a chapter and then leave, you're welcome to do that. Or if you want to stay the whole time, you're welcome to do that too. It's powerful to see the whole thing here at the beginning of the year of Luke, just to read the gospel in its entirety. And like I was saying with the kids, sometimes we get sad, sometimes we get afraid, and it's a good idea sometimes just to gather together, sit down, and read the book that we gather around, and this year it's the Gospel of Luke. You see, the different Gospels have different agendas, as I've shared before, and one of Luke's main agendas is to proclaim the work of the Spirit in Christ's life first, and then that same author, Luke, goes on to write the book of Acts, where the Spirit then figures into our lives as well, not just Christ's life, but also the life of the church. That's where the story of Pentecost is found. The Spirit is Christ's gift to the church. Many words are spoken and deeds are done by everyday Christians because they are filled with the power of the Spirit. Martin Luther King Jr., for example, who we celebrated this week, he was just an average man, actually. He was just an average man, but filled with the power of the Spirit, Martin Luther King Jr. did and said great things. How does the Holy Spirit figure into your life, into your being? Specifically, how does the Spirit fill you? Imagine a man rowing a little boat wildly at sea. It's a metaphor for our lives in some way these days. Rowing wildly, even while we're exhausted. Now envision that man putting up a sail and letting the wind fill that sail, bringing his oars back into the boat. Off he skips across the water. That's the Spirit driving. Heather and I have a good friend from college. His name is Shin Hashimoto. He's Japanese, obviously, and he is a pilot, actually, with Delta Airlines for a while, and then he moved over to Hawaiian Airlines a couple years ago. He lives in Honolulu. He also loves to sail and surf. And one time, I was talking with Shin, and he was describing to me that, in really beautiful detail, that wonderful moment that he never gets tired of, taken off dozens of times every week. He never gets tired of that moment when he flies, when the wind lifts the plane off the ground at takeoff. If you've ever flown, you can feel this too as a passenger. He never gets tired of that just magical moment where you're actually taken by the wind. You no longer belong to the earth. The wind picks you up and you are taken. And Shin was pointing out that's that same feeling he has when he surfs or when he sails as well. That moment where the wind or the water just takes you, lifts you. The word spirit in Greek and in Hebrew is the same word, actually, for wind or breath, which is fascinating. In Greek, it's the word pneuma, and in Hebrew, it's this feminine word, ruach. Ruach. The Holy Spirit fills us like wind in our sails and allows us to move in ways and into places we could never have gone by our own rowing. So, how does that flesh out? That all sounds great. How does that flesh out for you in your life? In Jesus' case, filled with the Holy Spirit in our text today, before this text today, he faced temptation in the wilderness. And now he faces, perhaps even more impressive than temptation in the wilderness, he faces his hometown crowd. Now, that might be wonderful and warm to come back to your hometown crowd. But for Jesus, for prophets, it is hard to return home and get any kind of serious audience. Everybody just sees you as the innocuous kid. Has anyone ever taken the wind out of your sails when they told everyone that they knew you when you were a teenager? Happens in churches sometimes. People come and they take a position of leadership and people go, we knew them when they were little. It just sort of sucks the wind out of their sails. It can, anyway. If you want to have power over someone, you say, I knew you back when. Back when you were little. Jesus is only 30 years old here. Interesting. He's pretty young. Known any 30-year-olds? It's interesting, by the way, this congresswoman, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, regardless of your politics, she's one of the youngest people in Congress now, and it's interesting. It's highlighted how young she is, how, fascinating. Jesus is only 30 years old, but he's got something to say in spite of the power that his hometown crowd might have over him. He's got something to say, and he says it. Come back next week. It's part two, Jesus' homecoming, to see how they respond to what he says. But here's what he says. I like to call this Jesus' inauguration speech. This is his agenda that he's laying out. It's a bold list of priorities for a new term. It is aggressive. These are not gentle suggestions or sweet promises for after we die someday. This is what Jesus comes into the world to do now. Here and now with real people in real time. That's very Lucan. It's about real people in real time. I tend to want to spiritualize this list of Jesus, but I am convinced that Jesus in the Gospel of John would chastise me heartily for sugarcoating and making excuses. This is Christ's agenda. He declares war on my ease and comfort, on my unwillingness to change and take risks. In his inauguration address here. If the Gospel of John is all grace overflowing like gallons and gallons of wine, that was our text last week, and that's really the image for John's Gospel, just grace overflowing, it's ridiculous. If that's John's Gospel, then the Gospel of Luke is spirit fire. Here's God's holy, righteous, fiery, spirit-born agenda. Ready? To proclaim good news to the poor. What would that be? What would good news to the poor mean? What would it mean to have good news proclaimed to someone without a paycheck and no backup? That's his first item, and that's important. Whatever comes first and last is very important in the scripture. Next is to release the captives, to proclaim release to the captives. Now, I tend to want to spiritualize that. But I don't think Luke would do that. I think Jesus in the Gospel of Luke would chastise me for wanting to just spiritualize that and say, oh, it's all just metaphor. No, I think we've got something to look at here. I've known people who have worked as officers in the prison system. I wonder how they hear this text. Released to the captives? Are you kidding? Do you know anybody that's locked up? Jesus comes to bring recovery of sight to the blind. Now that sounds probably the least controversial, the most innocuous for us. Until Christ tells me later, that I'm the one who's blind. And when my sight recovers by the power of the Holy Spirit, there are people and situations that I will suddenly be able to see that need healing. Jesus comes to let the oppressed go free. In case you didn't hear it the first time, Jesus says it again. He has come to let the oppressed go free. And finally, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is an offensively economic reference. The year of the Lord's favor comes from the book of Leviticus. And it's the idea that every 7 years is to be a year of jubilee, where every person and every nation is to forgive the debts that are owed to them. Let that sink in for a second. Every 7 years, debts are to be forgiven, both individually, corporately, nationally, globally. That's the year of the Lord's favor, and that's what Jesus comes to proclaim. And that's the last item on this list, and so it is significant. The first is to proclaim good news to the poor. The last is to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The Lord's Prayer, which comes right out of the Gospels, actually says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We've changed the language in what we say on Sunday morning, but it's actually, forgive us our debts. The Lord's Prayer is inherently economic and therefore problematic. Because, you know, incurring and collecting debt is the way our system, our world works. Yet Christ is here inaugurating something radically different. And all this is because he's filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Friends in Christ, that same Spirit fills you this day. It lifts you, it lifts me to say and to do and to imagine things that we never thought possible. It's that moment where we no longer belong to the ground. We are taken by the Spirit, by the wind, and are lifted. There's a moment as the Spirit-filled body of Christ where we no longer speak our own minds, but rather speak the mind of Christ. When we become filled with the Spirit, something else takes over. Something takes us, you see? My own mind suggests caution and retribution. But we are of one mind in Christ, and so loving our enemy is Spirit-born. That's not me rowing wildly alone. I can't love my enemy by myself, but with the community and the Spirit, I sail. My own mind might suggest shrewd financial dealings that always ultimately benefit me and the people closest to me. But we are not of our own minds in the Spirit. We are of the mind of Christ, and so we share our wealth freely and joyfully. That's not me panting breathlessly on the sea, wondering how I'm going to make it. I can't give generously by myself. But with the community and the Spirit, I sail. My own mind might suggest isolation. Cut off from the messiness of the city, of the civilization, of the community. It's all just naturally not perfect, to say the least. It's cleaner, really, to just go it alone. Let me just paddle here on my own, and you paddle over there on your own. We can't live faithfully together on our own accord. We can't even do church on our own accord. We'll tear each other down. We'll break up. But with the Holy Spirit, we sail. We lift upwards, we trust, we hold each other together, and we soar. With the Spirit, we hear the gospel, and our sight is restored. With the Spirit, friends in Christ, we are set free, even if that makes us uncomfortable. We're ducks, we can fly. We are set free. Praise the one who frees us this day and every day. That's the story we gather around now. Praise the one who brings light to a weary world. That light is ours, and it is ours to share this day and always. Amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.